Hey, Spring Meadows. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Listen, thank you so much for that music, for that worship. Man, you guys did an awesome job. They weren't even distracted a little bit by me sitting right up here in the front, just getting out all my tears so that I could come up here. So I was trying not to look at you guys in the eyes so that it wouldn't distract you. We got two babies up here right on the front row, me and then my little baby right here. Here's baby Wesley. And so thank you so much for that worship. If I do start crying again, I've talked to Jack Leach, and he's agreed that he's going to come up here and tell some jokes until I, just kidding, just playing. I won't make you do that. Okay. Let's get started. So 1 year ago, I kind of crashed a dinner of my in-laws meeting their in-laws. So I don't know what that makes them to me, but I think that they're my family. And I ended up at the dinner, and it was at Mellow Mushroom, I remember. And it was right after my brother-in-law had just gotten engaged. And here you have my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law right here. I didn't tell them I was going to tell this story. But hey, so I came to the dinner, and I started talking. Man, I love my in-laws to my in-laws family. They're awesome. And as I was talking to Alicia's dad, and he's so cool. He was just talking about this like shark app that he has where you can like look on this app and it shows you all the different sharks that are in the water. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. So we're just going through different topics. And then the next one that comes up, he starts talking about how he had recently gone skydiving with Chad, my brother-in-law. And because he took him skydiving for Father's Day, not too far back. So we're all talking about skydiving. And Chad asked me, he said, "So Molly, would you ever go skydiving?" And you know, I was just talking. I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, yes, I would if like, the biggest thing is I just wouldn't want to be afraid. So, you know, if someone just like drove me somewhere and I didn't know it and all of a sudden I look up and there's a plane, sure, I'd jump out. Yeah." But I was just talking, you know, like sanguines, they just talk and they don't even know what they're saying half the time. So about a month or two later, you know, it was my 30th birthday, and then a couple weeks went by, and literally it was like this weekend. So it's been about a year. They said, "Chad and Alicia," they said, "Well, we want to take you to DeLand, to this pancake place. Have you guys ever been there? It's like all you can eat pancakes." Yeah, I still haven't been there. Man. Well, I thought I was going, right? Because they're like, "Hey, let's go to this pancake place." And so I'm in the car, and I'm just like chatting away. Have no clue what's going on. And I'm like, yeah, can't wait for pancakes. And then they're like, "Hey, you know, well, we have a gift for you to open in the car before we get to the pancakes." And so they hand me this card and this box, and I open it up, and the card says, "Have fun jumping for your birthday." And the present was a jump rope. And you know those gifts that you get that are really confusing, but you're like, "Thank you." And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, "Thanks, guys. Yeah, I haven't jump rope since like the eighth grade, but I should pick it up again." And then literally I look up and I see a building that says Skydive DeLand. And Chad, he leans back and he says, "Molly, you said the only way you would do this is if we drove you here." And I'm thinking, a lot of times, like, I talk to my past self. I'm like, "Thanks, past Molly," or, you know, different things. But then this time, I was like, "Past Molly, you are the actual worst. Why did you say that?" Because now we are here. Oh, I could try and escape. It's like 30 miles back. I could try and run home. So I was totally wrong, because I'm like, no, wow, I thought that I wouldn't be afraid, but I definitely am. And then I thought, you know what? Maybe my fear will go away when I figure out what exactly happens and, you know, how we land, where we land, and that type of thing. And you're like, who owns this place and everything? So we walk in, and the owner of the place, he's there, and he has one leg. And I'm like, and I'm like, why does he have one leg? Well, how did he get one leg? So anyways, and then they make us watch a video. And the thing, I'm like, man, this whole video is like, hey, we're not responsible if you lose your life. I'm like, man, this video is not speaking life over me. So that didn't work. It just made me more afraid. And then I thought, man, the only way that I'm going to jump out of an airplane and I'm not going to be afraid is if I know, you know what, if I know who I'm strapped to. So I figured out which one of the guys I was going to be falling with, and once I found him, man, I like was hardcore grilling him. I was low-key grilling him, you know, making it like so he wouldn't be super aware that I was doing it. But I'm like, hey, you know, like, hey, you know, you have ambitions in life, and hey, you're feeling good today. You're happy. It's good. You woke up on the right side of the bed. Hey, and what are your qualifications? And hey, how long have you been doing this? Anyways, I really locked in trying to get to know this guy in the 25 minutes that I had. And it was true. In the 25 minutes, man, I got to know him pretty well with the questions I was asking him. And I'm like, okay, I guess we're going to do this. Man, it's crazy. And they just go up there, and those people are wild. They're just jumping straight out. And Carl was right in front of me. Thank you so much. Carl was there, and he jumped right out in front of me. And then there we go. Here's a little picture. And then I finally did it. I jumped. But the only reason that I actually decided that I would do it is because I ended up getting to know the person who I was strapped to. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Jesus, Lord, I pray that you just pour your Holy Spirit today. And I pray that you be lifted up and that all people will draw to you. We ask this in your name. Amen. All right, we're going to go back to the Old Testament, the OT. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 43. And I'm just going to give a little bit of context to this story. So the Israelites, God's people, they had been taken into Babylonian captivity. So the Babylonians, they took them captives. They took them to their land. And what happened is when that happened, so this is a Babylonian exile. Everything changed. Everything. Their culture changed. Their way of worship changed. Their language changed. Even some of their names changed. And they were here for 70 years, okay? For 70 years. So during this time, there was people who passed away. There was babies that were born. They called them exile babies. No. But then there's some people that simply just got older during this time. And a lot of them got tired and they got weary. And they're wondering when it's ever going to end. They had heard it was going to end. But you know what? They were just really kind of over it. And during that time, they had forgotten who they were. And honestly, they had forgotten who God was. And so what we're about to read, the reason why I give that context is because I'm going to share with you God's declaration. So God is now here because it's been so long and they forgot who God was and they forgot who they were. Here is God, and he is making a declaration to them. And he's standing. I am picturing that he is like this. He is this guy standing with this love letter, and he is just shouting it from the rooftops, and his heart is bursting because, man, he is making this huge appeal to his people. And so here we go. We're going to start in verse 1 with verse 1. And the first declaration that he makes sure that his people know, he's declaring this, is that of who he is. He's gonna make sure that they know who he is. Because it's been a while. They've forgotten who he is. And it says, but now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Why would he say that? It's probably because he's talking to people who are afraid. For I have redeemed you. Man, isn't that an awesome song that they sang? Yeah, that's when I started bawling because I'm like, oh, she's so good. And I love Spring Meadows. That's a good song. For I have redeemed you. I paid the price. That's what it means. That paid the price for you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. Man, okay, so just recap. Just there in this one verse, he says, I've created you, I've formed you, I've redeemed you, and I've called you by name. Boom. That already shows who God is. He's getting to know them again by just sharing who he is. Just even with that one verse, we could go home, and that's powerful enough. Amen? Right? Man, when I find something really good in the Bible, I'm like, oh, it tastes so good. It's like a piece of dark chocolate or something. It's so good. It's better than that. But here we go. We go to verse 2, and then he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. What do you think he's referring to? The Red Sea. The parting of the Red Sea. And he says, when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Do you know what he's referring to there? The Jordan River, yeah. Where he stopped the river and they were able to cross. It says, then when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. What's he referring to? The fiery furnace when he jumped in there, yes. And the flames will not set you ablaze. So here he's giving his who he is and what he's done. Man, this is a pretty cool God already, right? And then it says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Boom. It says, I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. It says, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and, drum roll, because I love you. Wow, isn't that beautiful? Man, nobody can tell me that the God of the Old Testament is not love. Man, it was true when Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father, because this guy is all about love. He is love. So just in this declaration, that's a good description of who God is. He wants them to know who he is. So then it goes into his second declaration. And this is who they are. Because remember, they forgot who they were. And he starts it off again, do not be afraid. Well, he's probably saying it because he's talking to his people who are afraid. He says, for I am with you. We go to verse 6. It says, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Whew. Does that say who they are? Yeah! That says that they are his sons and his daughters, and he created and he formed them. Man, it sounds like they are his children. So baby Wesley has gotten to the age, he's 2 months. But he's gotten to the age where he's like, when he looks at me and he looks at Carl, he's like, man, do I know you? I'm not sure. So I'm making a point. I'm like, hey, baby, did you know that I'm your mom and that's your dad and you're my baby? And he's like, yeah. I think he gets it. I think he's getting it. I'm your baby. Well, that's what he said. That's what God is saying to his people. He's like, hey, did you know that you're my baby? You are mine. And then, so then we go down to verse 10. He says, you are my witnesses. And we just heard this from Dr. Nieves. He says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. And listen really closely here. It says, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know me and believe me and understand that I am he. Man, this is powerful. Because a lot of times, don't get me wrong, I used to always think that being a witness was like gathering a bunch of information and being like a little Cupid for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm like gathering a bunch of information and then I just like shoot an arrow at someone. It's like a little Jesus arrow, right? And it's something that I'm doing to someone. But here, God makes it so clear. He says, hey, you know what? You're my children and you're my witnesses. So when you call in a witness, what do? They just tell a story about what they saw, what they heard, or what they experienced, right? So really he's saying, hey, you're just a witness of me being God, of me being your father. You're just a witness of what you've seen from me, what you've heard from me, what you've experienced with me. You are my witness. And guess what? It's not just so that you can be a witness to other people. My first and foremost priority is that you, my baby, knows that I am God, understands that I'm God, and understands who I am. I need you to know that I'm your father and I love you. And then he goes off about who he is again, and it's awesome. He says, before me, no God was formed, nor will there ever be one after me. I am the Lord. And apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some other foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Notice, what tense is he talking in? Present. Because he is God, not just a God that was from the past or one that's going to come in the future. He actually is present day. So that's why he said, and he has to tell them that they're witnesses because they don't know it. They don't even know that they're witnessing God working right in front of their eyes because they've been in exile. And they've grown weary and they've grown tired. And they don't even know that they're witnessing God right in front of their eyes. So he has to tell that to them. And then this is where he ends the declaration there. He says, I love this. He says, yes. He's like agreeing with himself. I love it. He says, yes. And from ancient days, I am he. No one can deliver you out of my hand. When I act, no one can reverse it. So there he's like, hey, you're my children, you're my witnesses, you're a witness that I'm your father and that I super love you, and guess what? No one can ever take you out of my hand because I'm going to go like Papa Bear mode on them. So make sure that you know that you are safe in my hand. And then we get to the last part here, the last declaration of what he's doing. It starts in verse 14. It says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. There you go. He makes sure he knows who he is. They know who he is. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. So just in this little like couple verses, he talks about what he's going to do. He says that the Babylonians are going to be taken over, which the Babylonians, I mean, they are like the top dogs. This is going to be a really big thing that God is going to do. But notice, So what actually ends up happening, just like spoiler alert, that what happens is that the Babylonians are taken over. And it's the next king that ends up signing a decree to let God's people go. And so that's when they are going to get to go back to their homeland, back to their way of worship, back to everything that they've known, back to their culture, after the 70 years are over. That's what's going to happen. That's what's about to happen. It sounds very familiar, right? Let my people go. What does that remind us of, you think? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Pharaoh and Egypt, when they were taken as slaves, and they were Pharaoh's slaves. So this is exactly what he refers to. We go to verse 16. He says, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. It says, but forget the former things. So he's referring to, hey, I did a really awesome thing for y'all way back then when I parted the Red Sea and I saved you. And I took you out of that land. But guess what? I need you to forget that. Not completely, but I need you to not dwell. It says, do not dwell on the past. It says, I need you to not live there. He's not saying, hey, forget how I've been there for you. But what he's saying is, hey, don't hold on to the past. He says, hold on to me. Because you know what? Check it out. Oh, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm doing a new thing. He wants them to make sure, hey, this is what I'm gonna do. I saved you back then, guess what? But I saved you right now. I'm about to save you again. Guess what? I'm a current redeemer. I'm always saving. I'm your only savior, and I'm your savior that's gonna be your savior forever, continually, time and time again. And I need you to witness what I'm doing now. Why? So that you will witness that I am God. And when you witness that I'm God, then you know how much I love you. And you know that I'm your father. And you know that you're my baby. That's why I need you to see what I'm doing. And so I have a picture here. Xavier Moss was... Oh, hey, what's up, brother? Okay, he's here today. All right, so... Here it is. Okay, so this picture, thank you so much, Xavier. This picture is just showing how long it had been, right? It had been like that they're in a desert, that they're in a wasteland, that things kind of seem like they were past the point of life. So that's why God doing a new thing seemed like it might be impossible. And here you can see a blade of grass growing up. But the thing is, it seemed that maybe God doing a new thing would be impossible. And also, if he was doing something, it seemed like it might be kind of scary, or it might be uncomfortable, or it might be challenging. But what God is saying is he's saying, hey, I need you to pay attention to it because I don't want you to miss it. Because I want you to see what I'm doing for you, in you, through you, around you. And I need you to witness that I am God, that I'm your continued redeemer. So what does this story, what does this passage have to do with us in 2021? Everything, everything. Number one. Our Redeemer is the same. Amen? Yeah, he's the same. The same Redeemer here, God, that says, hey, guess what? There's no reason to fear. I'm your Redeemer. I paid the price. And I love you. I love you. And that's what he's saying. He said it to them, but he also says it to us. to you individually that he loves you and he wants to, and that he has the same declaration of who he is now that he was back then. Number two, our identity is the same. Amen. We're little babies. We're God's babies. We're his children. We are a child. We are children of the living God. Do you know what that means? We're children of the living God. So that means that, and we are witnesses of what he does and who he is. He goes Papa Bear mode on anyone and anything that who is against us, because he is for us. We have everything we need because he's our Father. He's given us everything we need because we are his children. And number three, our story ends the same. God is alive and active today. He's alive. He lives and works in 2021. And he's doing a new thing today. Whether we even recognize it or not, he is working on our behalf, in us, through us, with us, around us. And he wants us to recognize how he's working in us, through us, around us, so that we would know who he is and that he is our one and only Savior, our continued Savior. You know, when I was praying about what to preach about, you know, this passage came to my mind of God doing a new thing. But when I was reading it, really, there's only like two lines about him doing a new thing. He doesn't really say what he's going to do. He says a little blurb about the Babylonians, but that's about it. But then he has two full chapters about talking about who he is. Which got me thinking, maybe the most important thing isn't even knowing exactly what he's going to do, but knowing who he is. And knowing who we are. And knowing that all we're supposed to do is just sit back and witness that he's doing something. So I'm going to show you this last picture. Here's a picture of me by this awesome fire hydrant. And it's, oh, here it is. Do you know where that's at? Spring Meadows. See, the thing about God doing new things, sometimes it's scary or uncomfortable. However, like he said, when we are trusting in him and then we're able to see what he does, we're able to experience him, see him, hear him through that new thing. And again, time and time again, know that he's God. So it's like a beautiful cycle that keeps going. The new thing that he does, that we're able to see it and then witness that he's God. I'm so sorry. Jack, you need to get up here and tell some jokes. I remember that when I first was going to come to Spring Meadows, I was really afraid because you know, I was thinking, I was like, well, I've never been like a full-time pastor and like I don't have the education. And when I showed up, I went to the high school room and there's this like group of really cool boys. They're over here. They're sitting over here. Hey, Nelson. I was like, oh, man. This is like the cool kids, maybe they won't like me. You know, all these things that were going through my head, like stupid things. But, you know, just because I was afraid. But then So here I was. I get here on my first day to be introduced. And I was like, oh, what? Check out this fire hydrant. We got to take a picture. And then I was like, okay, hopefully nobody sees because I don't want this to be my first impression. And but there was one person out there. Well, it was the Batista family. And so I'm like, oh, shoot, I think he saw me. I saw Luis Batista. And I had heard that this is like a hugging church, but I was like, well, you know, just to be safe, like I'll go to shake his hand. So I was like, hey, and then he's like, no, we hug here, and he gave me a big hug. And I'm so glad that. That I was able to walk into the new thing that the Lord had for me. Because I can honestly say, after being here for 2.5 years, I've witnessed that God is who He says He is. Because I've witnessed God in this place, that He's a living God, and I've witnessed Him in each one of you. So, Spring Meadows, there's no reason to fear, because you know the one that you're strapped to, and that's Jesus Christ.
We love you, Molly. Church, we'll have big shoes that Molly will leave behind that will never be filled because of who you are as a person, what you represent, the love that you bring. And so all that's left to say is thank you. And that we're so grateful to have had you here with us. And we know that our cross will path again. But we wanted to leave you with a song of blessing, a song for you and your family. And it is taken right out of Scripture. In Numbers 6, 20-26, it reads this: "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel.'" Or "my children" is how I read that. "Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace."
His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you for a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you for a thousand generations, and your family and their children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you for a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, He is for you, He is for you, He is for you, He is for you.
Thank you, worship team. Spring Meadows, this is a hard day, isn't it? There's no other way to put it. But Molly and Carl like to call you forward to be with us. We have some special things we like to show our love to you through some presentations. Molly, thank you for your message. Those are never easy. But thank you for allowing God to speak through you to us today. And we get to meet little Wesley, praise the Lord. Many of us for the first time. To start, we're going to have various coming forward, but to start, I'd like to call our current pastoral staff, if you could just join me up here, and Pablo Ayala, if you are here. I'd like to start with Pablo. Many might not realize this, but Molly has played an instrumental role with Meadows Academy, and her support there in ministry has been tremendous. And so I'm going to let Pablo say a few words to start in behalf of Meadows Academy to Pastor Molly.
You hear me? All right. Molly has definitely left her imprint at the school. Only 2.5 years, but we could feel it. As soon as she came in, she was ready to go. It was so cool, and the teachers really appreciate her so much that, you know, they were very sad, like we all were. And we have a little gift for her to take. I'm going to read it this morning here. for an awesome pastor, for Pastor Molly Duper, with love from the Meadows Academy, Sanford, Florida, March 2021. Molly, you were very inspirational for our school. May God continue to bless you. I know that he will. Thank you for everything you've done for us.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pablo, for sharing that and the blessing that you've been to Spring Meadows and our Meadows Academy family too, Molly and Carl. At this time, I'm going to call Mike forward, Mike Fogg, and I believe there's some others who will be coming, and he'll be announcing that as well. But Molly, as he's coming forward, I'm going to take just a moment to share a couple of things from my heart and for our pastoral staff as well. Molly, you've been here since I've been here, but before I got here, you were already here. And I just want to let you know that you've been a blessing to me and my family and to our pastoral staff, to our church. Molly, you've left a footprint here that is very specific and one that will be here for a long, long time because of your love for Jesus. And a couple of things that I just want to affirm you in your life is that your love for Jesus just oozes out. Everywhere you go, people see Jesus in you. And I praise God for that. Everything you've done here, people have seen Jesus. The footprint you've left in the lives of our youth, our young adults, we can't begin to even describe and to share how awesome and amazing it's been to have you here with us and to minister to us. I was just thinking, you know, comparing Molly with somebody I'm thinking in the Bible. I think of Barnabas, but even though he was a guy, but Barnabas' name means son of encouragement. And when I think of Molly, I think of encouragement. So Molly, you are a daughter of encouragement. I remember through things that are happening, Molly, you're always positive. You always have words of encouragement saying, God's got this. Jesus is in charge. So thank you. Thank you for allowing Jesus to share himself through you and shine through you to encourage us to be that light, to be that sunshine. You're going to be truly missed. And I can't even, once again, words don't describe right now how much we're going to miss you and how much we love you. But this time we're going to turn our time over to Mike, and they have a special presentation, some words for you as well.
I'd like to call Pastor Frank and Kathy up. I'd also like to call Pastor Bob and Alice. They're here with us today, and have them come forward. And I wanted to share a couple things with you this morning on what kind of reminds me when we think back of Molly. And if you look at her spiritual life, there's several things that comes to mind. If you think back some of the sermons that she's taught us in the past or spoken to us, you know, one of the things that she mentioned in the sermon one time was how she struggled with moving to Florida. She kept going back because she was at school, and she was, they'd asked something about what did you want to do, and she kept going back and talking with the, thinking about it, said, okay, Lord, if you'll let me have this area, I'll go here. Then she'd sit down, and she'd think about, okay, Lord, let's make it bigger. You know, it kept in praying until finally she put Florida on there. She didn't have any interest in coming to Florida, but the Lord has blessed her and brought her here. Also, you think about it, evangelism. She was a call porter for a while when she was in college, making money to pay her way through school. And one of the things that she spoke about was how she went to a gentleman's house, and he kept arguing with her. He didn't want any of her books. She goes, I don't care if you don't buy the book. I'm going to give it to you anyhow. You need this book. She says, if I have to climb that tree over there across the street to get you to take this book, I'll go climb that tree. That was Molly's determination and devotion to getting to spreading the gospel. Another thing that came to mind was language. You know, we've had to learn some of her Minnesotan language. I still don't know what umta means, but that's one of the things she finishes her sentences with. Or, ooh. So she has different words that we've had to learn, and we're going to miss those. Another one that's always interesting is when you see her from a distance, she'll say, so-and-so's in the house of God. And then she goes on, and she'll talk to you from there. How many of you know what her favorite color is? You can look at her shoes. She's got it on today. Yellow is her favorite color. And some of the things that we want to present her with today is Renee's going to present her with the flowers, and Luis is going to present her with a backpack for carrying the toddler. Molly, we think you can get a lot of use at that in college. I mean, I'm sorry, in Colorado. You know it's brand new because if you know Luis up here, the best he comes up with on camping is the Hilton Inn. So it has not been used, but we want to present that with you as well. And then we also have a special guest today that we just learned was able to be here, and that's Pastor Orlando and his family. So we want to... Always remember, Molly, you're well-loved, and this church will think of you often, and we'll be saying prayers for you and your family and your success in Colorado. Amen.
I'm going to hold it so you're not sharing germ.
That's going to be hard, Alex. I don't know how to do this.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We're breaking all the codes. Good morning, church family. So nice to be home. It's nice to be with you. Miss our church. But what a beautiful service this morning. Molly, you've already made me cry this morning, and I'm going to try not to. The older that I'm getting, the easier you cry. And I'll get this out of the way quickly, at least quickly for me, Alex. So I might have the mic here for a little bit. Molly, on behalf of the Florida Conference, I want to give you some flowers. We also have a little gift for you because we want to say thank you for your years of service. And I'm trying to do this very, very official. And I'm struggling already, so please don't cry, Molly. 3 years ago, I met this young lady. And about 3 years ago, Pastor Frank and Pastor Bob and Pastor John and I, we went to Jeremiah's to meet Molly and Carl to see if they fit into the family, because we've always been a family here at Spring Meadows. The pastors have always been a family, always. And it was love at first sight. It really, really was. Her love for Jesus was contagious. And it wasn't just Molly, it was Carl. This man behind the scene is her backbone. This man loves Jesus just as much as she does. And it was evident. And we said, absolutely, this is who we want in our church to be a part of the team. And what a beautiful journey it has been. So Molly, I'm going to try not to get sentimental. My goodness. But Molly, you've been an incredible blessing to the Florida Conference, but to Spring Meadows. The day you walked in, the day we presented you here, there was always laughter. When Molly walked into a room, the room got brighter. There was always a smile. Molly, you've always presented Jesus in a way that is so vibrant. It's so contagious. It's so beautiful. Even this morning, it could have been about you. The sermon could have easily been about you. And even this morning, what you did is you told the people not to ever forget that God is with them. Not to ever forget that Jesus is not only in the Old Testament, but he's here today. And he's here for us today. And I'll read a little bit of what you just finished reading. And I want to remind you, because you reminded us, but before you take off to Colorado, I want to remind you about what you just read. Because it's easy to preach it sometimes, but it's hard to live it. And you're going to have to live it now. And these are transitions that all of us that have been pastors have gone through. And they're tough transitions, but pastoring has never been easy. That's why the Lord doesn't call just anyone to pastor. You are a special chosen one by God. And he specifically selected you to be a pastor. And no matter what Carl does in his life, he's here to help you in ministry. And he's here to support you in ministry because God has called you specifically to share what you shared this morning, that Jesus is alive and well for his people. So I tell you, Molly, but now this is what the Lord says. Who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, Molly. I have summoned you by name, Molly. You are mine, Molly. And that's what the Lord says. Don't be scared. Are you kidding? I have selected you. Every story that you have shared about the Israelites, every time that you preached about Joseph, the three Hebrew brothers, so many that went through so much, Molly, those stories are for you now. Now is when these sermons come alive, because the faith that you have shared, now it's your turn to live that faith as the Lord takes you to Colorado and says, Molly, you are mine. I'm in control. This has never been about you. It's always been about me. And that's what we've always seen in you. It's Jesus in your heart. It's Jesus in everything that you do, in everything that you say, in every action that you've taken. Now, it's time for you to experience that faith as well as you go as a chosen one of God to Colorado to preach and to make the change and to grow God's kingdom the way that you have here. That's what God has called us to do, Molly. I'll share another verse with you. And God has put this all together because it was the last song that we just heard. It says, the Lord bless you, Molly and Carl and Wesley, Carlito. That's a little joke among us. It says, and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And I love this last little piece that we forget sometimes. It says, so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Everywhere that you go, you make sure you put the name of Jesus in God's people. Now that you go to Colorado, every time you stand behind that pulpit, you preach Jesus. And you put the name of Jesus the same way you've put the name of Jesus in us. Molly, you got here with one, and I'll finish with this. You got here with one, which was Carl, and you brought a good one. You're leaving with an even better one. So you're leaving with two. I hope and pray to God that I'm still in this position in the Florida conference so that I can hire you back with three. So we're going to let you go for a little while to Colorado, and that's okay. God has plans, and God needs you there. But our prayer is that you come back. Carl, three, four, five. He's ready. Bring him on. Molly, we love you. We'll never forget you. We're so proud of you. Keep preaching Jesus. And never forget, we do this for one reason. For one reason. Scream it as loud as you can everywhere that you go. It's to see Jesus in the clouds of heaven very soon. To grow God's kingdom and to make sure that all of us together, we make it to heaven. We love you. We love you.
This past Monday, as a pastoral team, Molly, to go downstairs to the fellowship hall where the amazing team, and I'm holding it upside down, where the amazing team of quilters put together this quilt as a gift to you. It wasn't just a quilt that was put together. We all laid hands on it and prayed. And as Kathy said, this baby and this family will be so blessed. Not just because our prayers happened on a Monday, but because our prayers go with you. You're in our hearts. And until we meet again, may this blanket wrap this baby with warmth, but may every time you hold it, you remember your brothers and sisters that are loving you and praying for you. And so this we give you, the quilting men and women of this church and your pastors.
Amen.
All right, I believe Pastor Brian is going to lead with, oh no, we have an announcement. We have Heather. So I'll hold it. Oh, you'll hold it. I don't know how I always get stuck in these positions. But we just wanted to show you a little bit about the gift that we gave you as a church family. So if, Luis, you want to march right over. We are hoping that this will come in handy in Colorado. There's a lot of little goodies inside that Wesley can use it for 3 or 4 years, baby two, baby three, baby. These things should last for life. So you just keep piling as many babies in there as you want to and hike your way back to Florida. But we hope that you'll remember your family at Spring Meadows every time you go hiking around in the Spring Meadows blue backpack. So before we have our special prayer, I just wanted to invite all of you to join us this afternoon as we continue to celebrate our time with the Duper family. The rain, it's supposed to be pouring right now, and God has been faithful, and it's not. But we have to be mindful that it might be raining here in the next hour or two. So I'm just here to give you a few details about the plans. Shortly after the service, there will be tables set up in the narthex serving lunch for anyone who would like to stay for some lunch. We have lasagna and salad to serve. Our church, you know, has been going through a hard time for the last year because we, just like everyone else, are adapting to COVID routines. And we're not yet open for masks off indoors, but the board has approved masks off to eat outdoors. So the plan was to have a picnic on the lawn, and weather doesn't look like it's cooperating. So the plan is we will be serving food in the narthex in carryout containers, and then we invite you to take your food outdoors. There will be chairs dispersed around the building under awnings if you want to socially distance yourselves and fellowship together out there. If it's not raining and you want to have some tailgating going on in the parking lot, spread out on the lawns. Our goal here is to give our church family an opportunity to fellowship and enjoy some time together, and also to spend some time saying their see you laters to Pastor Molly. And so to keep her dry, since we don't know what the weather's doing, Pastor Molly will be under the portico. So feel free to get your food once it's being served, take it wherever you want, and take your time driving through the portico to do sort of a drive-through or walk-through visit with Pastor Molly before you leave. And so we just look forward to our time to fellowship together this afternoon.
So this time we're going to have a special dedication prayer for you, Carl and Molly and Wesley, as you leave. If we could just all gather as safely as we can, but close enough to just surround you, if you can come here. We're going to say a special prayer for you and your family as we go. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we end this season, Lord, we recognize your goodness and your grace. We recognize it specifically through the lives of Carl and Molly and now baby Wesley, this beautiful blessing you've given them and our church family as well. Lord, we thank you for the call to ministry. We thank you for how you have used them here to preach Jesus, to present your kingdom, to present your love in such a way, such a unique way, that it has just impacted us so greatly in our lives. Lord, as they go to Colorado, we know that you are going with them. Your presence, your power, your grace, and your love is with them every step of this journey. And so, Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. Lord, as they go there, and we know that church there, you have new things in store, new experiences, new blessings in store for ministry for them and through them. And so, Father, we pray for your protection, your blessing, your presence in every aspect of their life. As Molly is going to be ministering there in a new setting, Father, I pray that you would just use her mightily. Fill her again with your Holy Spirit afresh and use her for your kingdom's glory. And Carl as well, as he is by her side, as he is ministering, Lord, and the new things that you're calling him to there. And as baby Wesley is growing up there, I pray that church would surround Wesley with your love and your presence, that he can grow in wisdom and stature and knowing you as his Lord and Savior as well. So, Lord, it is sad for us here as we say goodbye, but Father, we know this is just one step in your journey for them, and so we praise you and we thank you, and we celebrate your goodness that we've experienced through them, the goodness you will also give them and experience to others through them in the future, through their ministry. So we love you and we thank you. And we ask this all in Jesus' powerful name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Love you guys.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you too.